This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:06 and you're with Lynn on the Evening Edition, and we're going to be starting off Popit Parliament again, where we take you through the highlights from the Dewan Rakyat. So today, one of the earlier questions came from former Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, and it was about loan moratoriums and whether they'll be extended beyond the six-month period of April to September. So Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul Abdul Aziz didn't give a direct yes or no, but he did say that the country's banking system would lose an estimated 1.06 billion ringgit for each month that the moratorium is extended. He also tallied up the expected losses from the current six-month loan moratorium.
Jadi untuk tempoh 6 bulan moratorium diberikan secara keseluruhan, jumlah kerugian dianggap memecah 6.4 bilion ringgit bersamaan dengan pengurangan capacity bank itu sendiri untuk memberi pinjaman baru sebanyak 79 bilion ringgit sama ada kepada rakyat atau peminjam. Yang penting ialah untuk memastikan rakyat terpelihara. Oleh itu, jika PKP InsyaAllah tak dilanjutkan lah. Kalau ada PKP itu dilanjutkan, kerajaan sentiasa akan memantau keadaan dan perkembangan semasa dan akan mengambil tindakan yang diperlukan seperti yang dibuat sebelum ini.
So Tengku Zafrul also reminded the Dewan that Malaysia was only one of a few countries to implement an automatic six-month moratorium.
Ingin saya ingatkan bahawa Malaysia adalah satu-satunya negara yang melaksanakan moratorium secara automatik selama 6 bulan. Demi manfaat rakyat dan perniagaan. Sehingga kini lebih 7.7 juta rakyat atau 93% daripada peminjam individu serta lebih 243 ribu perniagaan atau 95% daripada peminjam PKS sedang memanfaatkan moratorium pinjaman tersebut.
So that was Finance Minister Tengku Zafrul Abdul Aziz on the topic of loan moratoriums. Just to run over those figures again, 93% or 7.7 million individual borrowers and over 245,000 businesses have benefited from the loan moratorium. Meanwhile, banks will incur a total loss of 6.4 billion ringgit, which would affect their capacity in providing new loans totaling around 79 billion ringgit. I know we covered this last week, but if you'd like to weigh in on whether or not you feel that you have benefited from the moratorium, and if you'd like to see an extension, do get in touch. Again, that number is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Moving on then to the tourism industry, Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister Dato' Sri Nancy Shukri said that there were a few indicators that the industry was in recovery based on a promising uptick in domestic tourism activity.
Pertama, sebanyak 180,000 tempat duduk, number of seats dengan izin telah terjual bermula 10 hingga 28 Jun 2020 bagi tempoh penerbangan ataupun travel period dengan izin Julai hingga September melalui kempen-kempen promosi tiket penerbangan domestik yang telah dijalankan oleh syarikat penerbangan AirAsia. Bagi kedua pula, peningkatan tempahan oleh syarikat penerbangan Firefly menerusi kempen-kempen promosi untuk tiket penerbangan domestik pada bulan Julai ini. Dan ketiga, aliran trafik di lebuh raya utama di seluruh negara yang menunjukkan peningkatan setiap minggu.
The minister was then also asked about whether the budget for the Visit Malaysia Year 2020 campaign would be reallocated to domestic tourism efforts now that the Visit Malaysia campaign has been cancelled.
Sebenarnya sebelum ini Visit Malaysia Year 2020 campaign dia kita telah mempertukarkan dalam 90 million. Tetapi oleh kerana kita telah batalkan, namun begitu dalam kita membatalkannya, kita masih menyimpan peruntukan tersebut untuk Visit Malaysia Year yang akan datang yang belum kita pasti. Jadi dengan itu kita masih lagi membuat perancangan apa yang akan kita lakukan. Selain daripada itu juga, Yang Berhormat, kita mesti masih lagi membuat pemantauan untuk memastikan negara-negara yang akan bekerjasama dengan kita adalah negara yang di bawah label Green Zone.
So that was Tourism, Arts and Culture Minister Dato' Sri Nancy Shukri saying that the 90 million ringgit allocation for Visit Malaysia 2020 will be kept for the next international campaign, and there's going to be a focus on countries that are designated as Green Zone destinations. Tell us how you would like to see the government utilise that 90 million ringgit budget. Sometimes we like to play this game where we you know, allocate the government's money. If you would like to play along, let us know. So we're talking today about we heard earlier about the numbers on the loan moratorium. If you would like to share your thoughts and experiences on that and whether you'd like to see an extension, get in touch. If you want to talk about how the government should utilise that 90 million ringgit budget for the Visit Malaysia campaign, also let us know. Should we save it for the next one, for example, or should maybe some of that budget be spent on highlighting the lesser known parts of Malaysia that are worth exploring, especially for local travellers? You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can, of course, also WhatsApp 018-789-8899. And call us at 7733-2900. After this, we're going to be crossing over to Melissa Tiong from BFM's news desk for her on-the-ground report from Dewan Rakyat. This is the evening edition, BFM 89.9.
Boleh for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, it is 6:18 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. This is Popit Popit Parliament, where we are just taking you through some of the highlights from Dewan Rakyat today. And now we're going to be continuing it with a crossover to Melissa Tiong from BFM's news desk. I believe we have Melissa on the line. Let's try. Hi, Melissa. Are you there?
Hi.
Sorry, we've to the people listening, we've had some technical difficulties. So I'm just very relieved to hear Melissa on the line. So what have you got for us?
All right. So there were a couple of things today. So earlier this morning, Kopeng MP and former Deputy Health Minister Dr. Lee Boon Chye held a press conference to suggest to the government to provide washable and reusable face masks to school-going students, which are from preschool to secondary school students. And because wearing of masks in public will be made mandatory from this weekend.
Kerajaan harus bermula dengan memberi topeng muka boleh basuh kepada kesemua pelajar-pelajar prasekolah, sekolah rendah dan sekolah menengah. Pemberian tersebut akan membantu mengelakkan penularan COVID-19 di kalangan murid sekolah di mana keberangkalian jangkitan tanpa simptom adalah jauh lebih tinggi berbanding orang dewasa. Institusi pendidikan juga merupakan bakar punca jangkitan besar-besaran seperti mana yang pernah berlaku di negara luar seperti Korea Selatan dengan jumlah murid-murid berkenaan sejumlah 5.4 juta orang termasuk prasekolah dan dengan memberi 2 unit topeng muka boleh basuh setiap murid kos kepada kerajaan sekaligus adalah kurang daripada 24 juta ringgit. Ini dengan anggaran kos setiap topi muka boleh basuh kurang daripada RM2 seunit. Ini akan mengurangkan beban kepada ibu bapa yang perlu sediakan topi muka untuk anak-anak mereka menjelang dasar pemakaian topi muka secara mandatory.
Yeah, so I also asked Dr. Lee why he suggested providing masks to students and not to maybe office workers. He said that focusing on students would be a good starting point, especially with the logistical issues that the government has had in the past with the distribution of masks.
Saya rasa dari segi di peringkat permulaan, kita lihat kepada pengalaman apabila kerajaan berikan pelitup muka sebelum ini. Dari segi logistik untuk penyampaian pelitup muka itu ada banyak masalah. Mungkin you got the product, tapi untuk edaran tu jadi masalah. Jadi ramai yang tidak terima. Tapi kalau kita nak berikan kepada murid sekolah, ini boleh dibuat melalui sekolah, kita akan selesaikan masalah logistik dan boleh dilaksanakan dalam masa yang terdekat. That's why I think start with the students first.
All right, so that was Kopeng MP and former Deputy Health Minister Dr. Lee Boon Chye with his suggestion for the government to provide washable masks to school students. Let us know if you think that's a good idea, especially if you have kids who've returned to school recently. Would washable masks be helpful for them? Let us know. Anyway, Melissa, moving on, what else have you got for us?
Yeah, so shortly after Dr. Lee was done, we had Subang MP Wong Chen, who had questions about the Ministry of Finance $3.9 billion US dollar settlement with Goldman Sachs over the 1MDB scandal. So he believes that the government must be transparent about the terms of the settlement.
The finance minister has a duty to all Malaysians to disclose the full terms of the settlement agreement with Goldman Sachs. The 1MDB scandal will cost Malaysians an estimated net loss in the region of $40 billion to $50 billion, depending largely on what we can recover. In that context, a settlement with Goldman Sachs touted at $3.9 billion or 16.6 billion ringgit is not a final solution. What is more worrying is that the terms are vague on the matter of the Goldman guarantee amounting to US $1.4 billion. As such, the Minister of Finance has to disclose, number one, what exactly is this Goldman guarantee? What efforts are Goldman Sachs putting in to recover the said amount of US $1.4 billion? Is the amount of $1.4 billion portion part of what the US government has already recovered or in the process of recovering? Or is this completely different? What time frame is given to Goldman Sachs to recover the same before they have to pay Malaysia the $1.4 billion? I mean, every guarantee has a time frame. You guarantee for how long? If after 2 years, you cannot recover, after 6 months, you recover, you have to pay for the guarantee. So these are the terms that are important that we should know. Without full disclosure to the above questions, Malaysians cannot properly assess the true value of the compensation.
Yeah, so Wong Chun also pointed out that we don't know whether this is a civil or criminal settlement, and the government shouldn't allow criminal activities to be settled with just a financial penalty.
Mm. So yeah, you just heard there Subang Jaya MP Wong Chen asking for the government to give full disclosure on their recently announced settlement with Goldman Sachs. Now, I also understand that Transport Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Wee Kah Siong held a PC to talk about the proposed amendments to the Road Transport Act.
Yeah, he did. So I think apart from the amendments to drink driving, the amendment that caught most of our attention was the punishment for minors using modified bikes or commonly known as bicycle lajak. So under the new laws, financial penalties and jail time will be increased, but they won't only apply to the minors that get involved in the accidents. They will also apply to the parents or the guardians involved in the bicycle lajak.
Sekarang yang jadi masalah kita minor, dia tak tahu. Mak bapak pukul 2, pukul 3 biar dia berjalan. Kita nak jaga keselamatan dia. Kalau dia umur 21 tahun, dia sudah kena. Kalau dia main ni, dia kena. Ya.
Yeah, and also really quickly, I asked the Transport Minister about the SOPs for breathalyzer tests to ensure hygiene safety during COVID-19.
Of course. There's a standard procedure for you to clear. After you take the first reading, okay, you must clean up. So there's a way to do it. So just follow the whatever SOP that's set by the manufacturer, how you use it. I think that is not a big problem because that is not only for one offender. It can be used for a series of, a few tests where you have this roadblock. I think it is not a problem, but the hygiene aspect, I think there's a way to do it.
So that was Transport Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Wee Kah Siong. Melissa, thank you very much for those updates.
You're very welcome.
That was Melissa Tiong from BFM's News Desk giving us the very latest on Popit Popit Parliament. And we've been talking today about, really, it's quite a wide-ranging show. We talked about how the former Deputy Health Minister, Dr. Lee Boon Chye, has asked for the, or suggested that the government provide washable masks for school-going students. Do you think that's a good idea? And would that be welcome, especially for those of you who are currently sending your kids to school or more likely, as we speak, picking them up? We also heard earlier about the 90 million ringgit allocation for Visit Malaysia 2020 and whether and how that is going to be kept for the next campaign. What do you think of that? Would you like to see perhaps a Visit Malaysia campaign that focuses right now on Malaysians travelling locally and, you know, maybe highlighting some lesser known gems? And also we spoke about the loan moratoriums. So on the latter two, we have received some thoughts. Allen is saying the 90 million ringgit should be solely spent locally for the tourism sectors this year. Encourage more people to travel locally at this point in time. And with the help of this amount, every hotel and tour agency would at least be able to sustain their business for the rest of the year 2020. Meanwhile, on the loan moratorium, Bing is saying, personally, I didn't benefit at all. However, this shouldn't be imposed unto the banks to allow borrowers for that moratorium. You know, the bank has compliance and audits to adhere to. Such moratoriums will force a setback on the bottom line of the banks. No wonder when the ministry forced banks to stomach the higher purchase moratorium interest, it came with an industry uproar. Many of us do not understand this point as we only see it from our personal angle. So the ministry should be a little more understanding. I think that the loan moratorium, I mean, we talked about this last week, and I think it's a very complex issue, and we've been hearing different things from both sides. I do think that Bing's point about it being seen from a more industrial angle as opposed to a personal angle is important, because right now, as always, money feels intensely personal, and, you know, never more so than when it feels as if you could perhaps get a better deal. But let us know your thoughts, whether it's on loan moratoriums, on local tourism, or on cloth masks being provided for students. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and also, of course, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.